Oh, yeah, I'll find your place.
I got a little piece of paper here.
Yeah, the piece of paper should be there. I moved it last night. To where it should be. We're on, since we only did one blot last night, we're on that Vav Amud Aleph in the, we're going to start right from the top of bottom of Hamid Base in Yergomar. Hakol Modim. You should have two dots there. You have two dots? Hakol Modim? We did exactly a blot yesterday. Exactly, but we left the bottom of Dalman Base and got the bottom of Hamid Base. Okay? Yeah. What? Oh. Are you going to be able to read a thing?
I can make it out. Yeah.
Okay.
I can see it.
All right, here we are in Hakol Modim, which is right here. Third line down.
Great, thank you.
Hakol Modim. Does everybody see the Hamid Base right at the bottom for you guys? Hakol Modim B'Kli Sheni? Is that the one? Is that what I just showed you? That's a Hakol Modim B'Kli Sheni?
Yes.
You have it, Mr. Zuger? Hakol Modim B'Kli Sheni? No, you don't have a single mark.
The last two words of
mine.
Hakol Modim.
Oh, okay.
Hakol Modim, everybody agrees that B'Kli Sheni Shumuter. Now, it's halacha, which we learned yesterday, which is that something becomes chayim and truma semaisis d'rabbanan if you put it into a pot on the fire. I think we actually learned 2 days ago in the Mishnah. And yesterday we expounded on it. If you put something into a pot on the fire, it definitely becomes chayim and truma semaisis immediately. You can no longer stack from it. Now, this is only true about a kli rishon, haloesh. If it's the first vessel on the fire. Hakol Modim B'Kli Sheni Shu Mutter. Or if you put a Kli Sheni, it's Mutter. You can still snack from it. In other words, let's say you have hypothetically a tea bag from tea which grew in Eretz Yisrael, and you put it into your Kli Sheni, which is your cup, so it's not Chayv and Trumus Maiseris. If you're just snacking on it, you're having a cup of tea, you're a worker on the field, you wouldn't have to Maiser it. Okay? Hakol Modim B'Kli Sheni Shu Mutter. Ma bin Kli Rishon, ma bin Kli Sheni. What's in between a Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni? Am Rabbi Yossi Barbun. As Barbun said, Kana Yad Sholetes, but Kana Eina Yad Sholetes. Now, there are many different interpretations of this line in the Gemara. But the Pashtun interpretation is that a Kli Rishon or Kli Sheni, a hand can touch. A hand can control it, literally. Sholetes mean control, but it means the hand can touch it. Whereas a Kli Rishon, a hand cannot touch. Okay, so that's the pashup shot. There's a lot of achrori. Some of the want to say that yad sholetes bo in the Ushami is the same thing as yad sholetes bo in the Bavli, which would be very bad for the Jews. It would create tremendous chumras. Well, I don't want to get into it right now, but the pashup says that's the exact opposite. Yad sholetes bo in the Bavli means that your hand pulls away when you touch it. Yeah. It's so late means it jumps out. Yad Sholetes Bo means that your hand can touch it, right? Your hand can come into contact with it. Okay, so the Ushami, first off, is could distinguish between Yad Sholetes and Ein Yad Sholetes. Rabbi Yonah said, no, Kan V'Kan, this is the way we paskin. Ein Yad Sholetes, both by Kli Rishon and by Kli Sheni, you can't touch it. Kli Sheni is also very hot. You can't touch a Kli Sheni. Ella, so what's the difference between the two? Again, that's why it's going to make a big difference, because if you say Yad Sholetes is Yad Soledes, so it's going to come out that a Kli Rishon is a Kli Rishon even if Ein HaYad Soledes Bo, which is a special chumra which the Magen Avraham has, and they say maybe he got it from this Yushalmi. Okay, let me clarify. It's a very basic principle of Hilchot Shabbos. There is a special chumra which Magen Avraham has. Normally, a Kli Rishon is only considered to be a Kli Rishon if Yad Soledes Bo, right? It makes sense, because it's not Yad Soledes Bo. If your hand doesn't draw weight, it doesn't cook, right? But the Magen Avraham says that by Kli Rishon, even if you ain't Yad Soledes Bo, it still cooks. It's a very schwer thing where the Magen Avraham got it from. Very difficult. So they say, I think even the Magen Avraham himself might allude to it, that Yad Soledes Bo, he says that the Ushalmi this he does quote Yerushalmi the Magen Avraham. So he said the Magen Avraham obviously interprets that this Yatzo Letus Bo is Yatzo Letus Bo. It says Kan v'Kan Eina Yatzo Letus Bo, meaning that a Kli Rishon can even be a Kli Rishon if your hand doesn't draw away from it. But we're not learning that way. The way we're learning is Kan v'Kan Eina Yatzo Letus Kan Eina Yatzo Letus Bo means that it's possible to even have a Kli Sheni, which is very hot, to the point where your hand cannot touch it, and still consider it to be a Kli Sheni and not a Kli Rishon. And the difference is in the vessels, not in the heat necessarily. Okay? Am I making confusing you, or is it making sense?
Make a little sense.
A little sense? Thank you. Okay. Sounds a little bit too grudging. Yeah.
Regard to Shabbos.
Yeah.
So if you have a
cliche,
it's
Yad Soledis. We hold that Alach L'maisa, that even if Yad Soledis bow, as long as it's not Yad Nichves bow, as long as your hand doesn't get burnt, even though your hand is extremely uncomfortable and you pull it back, it's still considered to be a cliche and not a Kli Rishon. Okay? Yad Nichves bow, which is approximately 180 degrees, somewhere around 180 degrees, then you have a problem in Kli Sheni. You might know now that being considered Kli Sheni.
You know if you have 180 degrees
or you burned your tongue. Yeah. Okay, that's a good way of knowing the Yad Nichves Bo, general principle. Okay? Most, very rarely, you can drink a beverage, which is Yad Nichves Bo. Okay, coffee, I believe, is when the coffee goes through the coffee grounds, about 160 degrees.
So, do you understand? For public health rules, yeah. In nursing homes, for example, they must serve a meal at 140 degrees.
Yeah.
Which apparently doesn't disturb the mouth.
Right. Makes sense. Right.
But you're saying
hot tea or hot coffee is about 160. Okay. If it'd be 20 degrees hotter, you can probably feel it.
Okay.
Okay. Says Mara. Amar Rav Mona. Rav Mona said, Hadein Pincha. Now here we have the gears are changes between my Gemara and yours. Hadein Pincha da Reza. A container or a plate of rice, Mesei La'abo, is a proof for my father. Meaning that it's possible that a plate of rice will retain the temperature when it goes from a Kli Rishon to a Kli Sheni. V'adim Pincha de Grosso Mesei La'abo, and the same thing is true about a container of beans. Right? At Mafne Le Minasar La'asar, you take them from place to place, V'ad Kedona Rosach, and it's still hot. Okay, it's still boiling. So you see that from Kli Rishon to Kli Sheni, it doesn't necessarily change the temperature. Now, the truth is, we're machmir by Dover Gush. We're machmir by solid foods on Shabbos, that solid foods on Shabbos are cooked even if they're in a Kli Sheni. Precisely because solid foods retain their heat to a very high degree, right? But in terms of maisers, we're not machmir. In terms of maisers, when Chazal said that if you put stuff tevel in a Kli Rishon, that it's you can no longer snack from it. That's only a Kli Rishon, not a Kli Sheni. And even if it's a Dover Gush, even if it's a solid which retains its temperature in the Kli Sheni, you can still eat it, you can still snack on the Tevel when it's put into a Kli Sheni. Okay? Says the Gemara, Talmud Tzinon. We learned over there. Yeah.
Is not brought into the house?
No. It's all out in the field, right.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about when you're cooking out in the field. Like, yeah. A lot of times they cooked outside the house too. Yeah. Tamatanina, Hayilfas Vakadera, a pot. Ilfas is a large pot, a kadera is a small pot. Shehivra, Haviron Mirusachim. You took them off a fire and they're hot on Shabbos. Lo yitein letocho tavlin, you may not put into them spices, because the spices will get cooked. Avlunosi letocha karo letocha tamchui. But you can put the spices into a plate. A kara is a plate with one compartment. A tamchui is a plate with several compartments, you know, like a cafeteria type dish. Rabbi Yehuda omer lekohu noisein v'chule. Rabbi Yehuda says, do you have all this which I'm reading? Okay. Rabbi Yehuda says you can put it into anything. Okay, you can put a tavlin into anything. Now it'll pick up again. Mal litein tavlin. Tavlin. Do you have this now?
Yeah.
Do you have it?
I'm scrambling. Mal litein. Yeah, I've got it.
Which line?
It's the 3, 6,
Tenth line down. Ma'ali tein tavli milamata. Can you put spices into a pot, and pour hot water on them, which is the principle of ding, 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 ding. Iri klirisha. On Shabbos, can you pour a hot beverage onto a cold solid? Supposedly not. You're correct. But it's a machlokas here. Rabbi Yonamar Osir, Rabbi Yonamar says it's forbidden. Iri kli rishonu. This pouring is likely rishon. And you probably don't have the next part, but Rabbi Yossi Amar Mutter. You know, it's Mutter Iri lavka kli rishonu, because Iri is not a kli rishon. So it's a machlokas. We in fact pass in Lechumra that Iri kli rishon is kli rishon dami. If you pour from a hot pot, it's like the substance itself. The proof Rabbi Yoina, who says that Iwari Kli Rishon is forbidden, is from the following case. Now, here he changes the case. He changes the Girsuk entirely. Okay, so I'll just read you the Girsuk which I have. It says in Teiro, Ukli Cheres Asher Tavusha Boishaver, if you cook carbon in a Kli Cheres, in an earthenware pot, you got to break it. Because it's going to become nosar. It's going to get absorbed into the walls of the kli cheres, of the pottery, and then it's going to become nosar, right? If it's left over, so you have to break it, because you can't kosher it. Ein li ela shemevasho, bo. I only know this is true about a case where you're cooking it. Iro l'socho roteach. Why do I know if you pour into it hot carbon food that it has the same impact? Tam lomar asher tevushal bo. It says that which is cooked in it. Mikom makom, regardless of how it's cooked. So the mikom makom comes to include something else. What other type of cook is there? So this brisa seems to indicate that even if you pour it iri kli rishon into the pottery, into the earthenware, it makes it usher, meaning it cooks. It cooks into the walls of the vessel. Okay, now skip down to the next line. Om Rabbi Yossi. Do you have Om Rabbi Yossi? Right, I know. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Tamon kli cheres bolea. Rabbi Yossi said that's no raya. Kli cheres is bolea. Earthenware absorbs. Tavlin enam bispashlin. Spices don't get cooked. Rabbi Yossi, who's mako, he says no. He says, he argues Rabbi Yossi, he says, spices are not subject to cooking. Spices don't cook. I'm not sure exactly how that works. Yeah. Spices don't cook. They give flavor. They don't cook. But that's melting is not cooking. You're allowed to melt sugar into your... Well, let's put it this way. Sugar doesn't cook. It dissolves, right? Yeah, but that's where you... Not if you put it in water.
Isn't cooking changing the status of what it was previously?
Yeah, making it softer or harder.
Well, the sugar dissolves and it's cooking.
No, it doesn't become softer, it just disappears.
Well, it's even more than cooking.
No, it's less than cooking. What's the classic cooking is meat, right? Okay. You take a piece of meat or an egg.
Yeah.
It gets softer or harder.
It gets smaller. So isn't that part of getting smaller?
No.
No,
it does, but that's not part of cooking.
Well,
you're allowed to you're allowed to shrink things on Shabbos.
So you're saying like salt or something is not cooked?
Well, salt for sure not.
Salt does not.
Yeah.
First Shabbos in Kfar Yehuda, I was berated by the.
No. We're machmir. We're machmir on spice. Wait a minute. Just maybe. Whoa. But according to this Gemara, according to Rabbi Yossi, spice salt for sure not, because it certainly does. I mean, you can say that something which comes from vegetables is going to be cooking, but salt it's a mineral. Well, for sure it doesn't cook. But we're machmir all these things. We're machmir all spices. I was just trying to explain Rabbi Yossi's position.
But sugar changes.
Yeah, a clear rishon. Yeah.
About sugar comes from plant, but sugar changes. Sugar,
yeah. But I don't even know if that's. Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe sugar is not considered to be a spice. I don't know. But. It could be. Maybe sugar would be different. But you have to understand, that's Rabbi Yossi's perspective. Rabbi Yossi's perspective is that spices, you know, peppers and things like that, they don't cook. They just give off taste. We don't, again, we don't pass in this way, but Rabbi Yossi's make them. Okay? Rabbi Yossi says, click, too lenient, right? Rabbi Yossi says, Tamon kli cheres bolea, so therefore he says that a kli cheres absorbs, that's why Iwer kli rishon, pouring it, asks the vessel, but Tamon doesn't cook. Hoser Rabbi Yossi barbun tzar yoser, when asked a question, Vatani, didn't we learn? Are you still with me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He has minayin. It also by copperware vessels. Also, the pouring in of korban, hot korban juice makes them usher. Tamla, because both says we clean the choshes bushala. Islach lemeimar clean the choshes bolea. Can you say that that copper absorbs? Copper is no more absorbent than anything else. It's not like kli cheres. If kli iwer kli rishon asers copper, it's got asers spices as well. And that's the end. That's assumed to be a proof against Rabbi Yossi. And that's a wee paskin like Rabbi Yoina, of course, that kli rishon is asers. You're not allowed to do put any spices under an iwer kli rishon on Shabbos. Okay?
Here the Yerushalmi basically says, it doesn't support it like making an irrefutable logic saying, oh, clean the choshes, bolea, you know.
Doesn't say tufta or anything, is it?
Yeah, not just that. It's like, so maybe Rabbi Yossi says the clean the choshes is not bolea.
No, but it's there's a kasuf. You may clean the choshes, bushal, it's a pasuk. Yeah. You can kasher it, but it gets absorbed. Okay. So it's a pasuk. Mao larosi makiluach. This is a very interesting thing. Can you pour the spice in together with the iwer kli rishon? In other words, as you're pouring, can you put spice into the flow, right? Into the flow. So he says, this is the same machlokas. He says, machlokas, Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Yossi. It'll also be machlokas, Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Negufta. Boy, kumi raimona, yasa for raimona. Also came b'Shabbos. This is if he did it on Shabbos. Chai mishum b'vashel. Okay, it's cooking. Also came b'Shabbos b'chol, chai mishum b'vashel. If he did it on Shabbos, well, actually, it's a question. It's both parts of a question. Do we say that this is a chayiv on Shabbos? In other words, that which we asked at Iwer Kli Rishon, and is it really mevashel? If you do it on Shabbos, we'll stone you. Oskim basar b'chalav, you did it by basar b'chalav. You poured hot meat and hot milk together. Chayim mishum mevashel, you're exactly to be mevashel basar b'chalav, and we're going to flog you, and it's going to become also b'na. It's going to become prevented to derive any benefit. Amalei said no. Kai the Amar Rabbi Zira, just like Rabbi Zira said, Ezu Cholud Boror. What's true cooking? Kosha Ur Mahalik Tachtav. Any time fire goes underneath a pot. Now this is in terms of cooking. He was talking about in terms of challah. So Lacha challah is only given on baked goods, not on cooked goods. So this is considered to be cooking as opposed to baking. Rabbi Azame, what's considered to be cooking? Only if you actually have fire under a pot. V'afhacha. I don't think you have those words. You have Ezu, right? What do you have next?
Ezu.
Tavshu boro kosher or ma'al tachdav. What's clearly cooking only if there's fire underneath. So Iwer Kli Rishon, even though we hold its osir, because it's akin to Bishul, it's not bona fide Bishul. In order to make something bona fide Bishul, what must you have? Fire. Fire under a pot. Not just pouring.
How about cooking without a pot? Take a big fork and put a piece of meat in the fire. It's still hot.
Same thing. Okay. So it's a Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, l'kol nosim v'chuli. You don't have that header, right? Rabbi Yehuda says that you could put tevel back in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda said you could put tevel into any type of pot and still not could be chayev in Trumas and Maisers. Unless it has salt water or vinegar in it. Why is that? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not just salt water and vinegar, but also if it has salt and wine, then if you put truma into it, it no longer can be snacked upon. Why is that? Because the oil of the truma, which we're dealing with, oil, Trishem and Zeitz, fuses not in a chemical way, but rather in a way which is integral to the taste of the dish in such a significant fashion that he holds this is what makes it kavua. Specifically, in these cases where we're dealing with these substances, where the oil has a very powerful impact on the taste and flavor and so on and so forth, in that case, I say, once you put it into these cooking, these dishes which are cooking, you can no longer snack on the snack on the tevel without taking off truma semesters. Okay? Halacha hey. Ready? Her eagle. You have a eagle which is pressed dates in a circle. Mishiachli kenu. Once you smooth the cake of the dates with either beverages or some tool, so at that point it's chayim trumas ma'isrus. You can't snack from it. Machlikim b'te'enim anovin shel tevel. One is allowed to use the liquids which come out of figs and grapes of tevel in order to make the cake which you pressed from them smooth. Rabbi Yudo ser, Rabbi Yudo forbids that. Now, why according to a Rabbana are allowed to do it? You're using tevel, right? Using tevel in order to smooth the pile, in order to smooth the cake, and tevel, it's not exactly forbidden be'anah. You're allowed to benefit from tevel, but you're not going to miser it properly, right? If you're using this liquid from inside in order to smooth out the cake and make it look aesthetically nice, so it's going to get lost. You're not going to miser it, and that should be forbidden, right? It's just being used for subordinate purpose, not for food purposes. Nonetheless, it's not considered yet to be a bona fide beverage. That's why you're allowed to do it. This juice, which comes out of the grapes or comes out of the figs, which you're using to smooth out the cake, is not considered to be a bona fide beverage. Rabbi Yehuda, nonetheless, Oser, because he holds that it is a bona fide beverage, and therefore now let's use it for this purpose, because you're causing a loss to the kohen, causing a loss to trumas and maestros. Hamachlik banovim, if somebody smooths out the grapes, consistently with what we said previously, his crew smooths out the pressed raisin cake. Lo hukshar, that does become suitably a kabel tuma, because this is not considered to be bona fide beverages he's using on it. Rabbi Yudah Meir hukshar, Rabbi Yudah says it's mukshar. Why it's a mukshar? Obviously, because he holds these are bona fide beverages. Now groigrois, I said we're talking about the dates. Now we're talking also about dates, but this. Yeah, even though they're from the seven mashkin. These are the seven mashkin, right? Because this is, one of them is yain, right? This is, despite the fact that it's from the seven mashkin, it's still not considered to be a beverage because it's only being used for smoothing the cake and aesthetic purposes. Grokos mishi yadush. Now, if you're pressing these dates into a vessel, so then it's only when they get pressed into a vessel. It's interesting, and the Gemara's going to pick up on this. If you're making them a cake, the moment they become the cake, they become forbidden to eat without maestering it. But if you're making them pressing them into a vessel, so it's only once they're pressed into the vessel, even if they're ready in the form of the cake. Similarly, in Magura, when you're putting them into a large wooden container, so and we're mishiaga once you press them into the wooden container. Hayadosh b'chavis, if you are pressing them into a bucket or a pitcher, umaga b'magura, are pressing them with a heavier weight into the large wooden container, nishbira chavis, and then the container broke, v'nivchasa magura, or the large wooden box broke, lo yochaman arai, you're no longer allowed to eat from them, snack from them, because they were put already, the process began. Rabbi Yossi Mati, Rabbi Yossi continues to light a snack, and the Gemara is going to discuss their machlokas. Chanina Bri Rabbi Yasso Omer. Chanina Sar Rabbi Yasso said, Ma pligin, Rabbi Yudha Rabbanan, when the Rabbi Yudha Rabbanan argue, betevel shenitva medivrayim, only in this tevel, which is tevel the Rabbanan. Right? In other words, the way he says it here, is that it's something, the way the Kavanoki says, He doesn't say it's talking about Bizman Azeh, even though that might be a reason to say it's only the Rabbanan, because now we know that all mitzvahs are the Rabbanan. He says, rather, here it's only Tevel Midr Rabbanan. We're talking about a case where you are going to sell it or do something like that, so you're no longer allowed to snack Midoraisa. So that's why there's Machlokas. But Tevel Midoraisa, so there even Rabbanan agree that you're not allowed to use the beverages from the inside to smooth out the pressed dates. Okay, I don't know why he said, you could just say Bizman Azeh altogether, all Tevel Bizman Azeh the Rabbanan, because the whole mitzvah Meiser Bizman Azeh the Rabbanan. So that might be where Rabbanan or Makel. I'm not sure why he had to throw in the issue of buying and selling and whether it's going to the market or not. Be that as it may, Hamachlik Banovim, you don't have the header, right? Hamachlik Banovim Lohuksar. Okay? If you use the grapes, the beverage inside the grapes to smooth out the raisin pile, so it's not machshir mekabel tuma. Now, Rabbi Mona Amar Lo, are you with me now? Rabbi Mona said this stam. He said this is the Mishnah without any attribution. Rabbi Avin b'shem Rabbi Rabbi Mona Amar the following statement stam. Sorry, without any attribution. Rabbi Avin said the following statement b'shem Rabbi Yochanan named Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yehuda kedaite. Rabbi Yehuda follows his line of reasoning. Rabbanan kedaton. Rabbanan follows their line of reasoning. You still with me?
Yeah.
The tiny one, let's write, Mr. Zucker, we're mamish at the bottom of Avam Rauf.
Last line.
Okay? The tiny one, let's write, Zaysim shepotzen biyadayim suavos. Olives which were cracked open by an individual's hands were tamei. Huchsheru. I know. There should be Hukshuru. Okay, they're Hukshuru Lekabel Tuma. Why they're Mukshur? Because you want to have the moisture. It's good for you. You intend to use it in order to use the oil until you crack them, in order to use the oil. However, Lesofkan Bemelach, what if you crack them open not in order to use the oil, but rather to salt them really well? Then in that case, Lo Hukshuru. Why they're not mukshar? Because, what's the logic? You don't want the moisture out. What do you want to do? You crack them open for what purpose? Just to get the salt in, not to take anything out. So the moisture which comes out is not moisture which is to your benefit, even though it's one of the shivas of mashkim, and therefore it's not metame. Okay. Leida, im yesh bo shemen o lo, if you crack them open to know if they have oil or not, lo. They're not machshir. Okay? Do you have this completely different?
Yeah, it says,
Leida Yeshbo Mayim. Mayim means oil in this case. We're talking about olives, right? Leida Yeshbo Shemen, lo huchshiru. They're not muchshir. Rabbi Yehuda Mer huchshiru. Rabbi Yehuda says there are huchshir. Why is that? What's the machlokas here? Rabbanan Amrin. The rabbi said, in their logic, b'meimov u'bodek. Is he checking by seeing if waters flow from it, meaning oil flows from it? No. He just checks it by looking at it. He doesn't want the beverages to come out. So therefore, since he doesn't want the beverages to come out, he's just checking by looking at it. The beverages are not machshir it. Rabbi Huda Omer, Gufo Bodek, Rabbi says the exact opposite. What are you talking about? Can you really tell how much oil there is just by looking at the body of it? You want the oil to come out to see if it has oil in it or not. Of Hachos, so too here. Rabbanan Amrin, Rabbanan say, B'meimav u'machlik. Are you using the beverages which come out in order to smooth are using the beverage to come out in order to smooth the cake which you just made? In other words, you don't mean to use it as beverage. You're just using it as a tool in order to smooth out the cake. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, he would have said, so what? B'shayish shelo machlik. Are you using the marble itself, meaning the grapes themselves, to smooth themselves out? You have to use the beverage. So in essence, there's a very fundamental machlokes Rabbeinu Rabbanan. Wherever you're using a beverage, not for its proper purpose, but for some obliquely related purpose, just to check if there's oil for later purposes, or to smooth out the cake so it looks nice. So Rabbanan say that's not considered to be a beverage use. So it's not machshir l'kabel tuma. Rabbi Yehuda says it's the bottom line is that you need the beverage to check if there's oily. You need to check if it's oily. You need the beverage to check if to use it in order to smooth it out, even though it's not a normative use of beverage, that's machshir l'kabel tuma. Okay? I have a new header here. Grogros mishi yadush. So I'm talking about when dates become, you're not allowed to snack from dates anymore when you press them. Okay? Omar Le Rebbe. Rabbi Shimon Berei, you have this? Rebbe said, Mr. Zuger, you have it? Where is it? Omar Le Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon Berei. Rebbe said to Rabbi Shimon, his son, Ale, go up. And Shabbos, Vavi Lanu Grogos Milan, go bring me dates from the second floor. Amarlei, so he said, how can you do that? Feino Mosa Mishu Mukta? Is it Mukta? How can you go get your dates? They're Mukta. Amarlei, so Rabbi said to his son, Rabbi Shimon, see the good question. Yeah. See, the children are always firmer than the parents. It's not even true about Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. His son was more firm than he was, right? Amalei, Vadayin at Lazu. You still hold the Shita. Ain lecha also mishu mukta elatayinu v'anoi vad. The only thing which is also because of mukta that it's set aside in Shabbos cannot be used are figs and grapes which are in the process of drying. Why is that because they are in the middle of the process between the time that they're grapes and the time that they're raisins, they're disgusting and repugnant. Now Rabbi Shimon held like Rabbi Shimon in the Rabbi Shimon about mukta. We pass to Rabbi Shimon that the only thing which is mukta is grapes when they're being made raisins and dates when they're being made to dry dates. Figs that we try and made the dry figs. But Rabbi Yehuda says, if you want to use something on Shabbos, you have to have had in mind from before Shabbos, whatever it is. So even the dates in the warehouse, they're also according to Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why Rabbi Shimon Berei asked his father that should be mukta. Okay? Rabbi Zira boy kumi Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Zira stayed in front of Rabbi Yossi. That Lo mistabra the law, it doesn't make sense. It only be Elaine Patzalaya have the uvda that we're talking about the dates which are collected when they're still not completely ripe. In other words, even Rabbi Shimon Berei could not have thought that that it's usher if they're just stam regular plain Jane dates. That's automatically assumed to be something you would use on that Shabbos, and there's no question that they're considered to be designated not mukta. Where did Rabbi Shimon Berei have a havamina that the dates are mukta when they were collected, they weren't yet ripe, and then they were set aside until they became ripe? So there, Rabbi Shimon Berei thought that they're similar to figs, which are in the process of drying, and raisins, which are in the process of drying, that they're considered to be mukta at this point. Okay. Amarle, so he said, "Of Anasavar Ken." I also hold the mice was talking about such a case. As Rabbi Yitzchak Barbun came, and Rabbi Yitzchak Barbisna said, "B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, b'ilim patzi layo avuvda." Yitzchak was talking about the unripe dates. V'amarle, and that Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi said to son Rabbi Shimon, nonetheless, "Ein lecho osim mishumukta elatayin v'anoi levad." Though it's because the mukta is figs and grapes in the process of drawing. Rabbi Yaakov Azad Hashem Rabbi Avo said, Hoda de temelinia Shabbos. That's only in terms of Shabbos. Avo inyan maisres. But in terms of maiser, kol advarim yesh le mukta. All fruit has got the mukta, meaning that they're not considered to be, this is a kula. Mukta, in terms of mitzvahs, is a kula. Because mukta, why say mukta? Because it's not fully prepared, fully done. So by meiser, when it's fully done, that's when you're no longer allowed to snack from it. So by meiser, to say everything is mukta means it's a kula. It's a leniency. That it ain't, it basically it ain't over till it's over, right? Then until it's fully prepared, even if it's like these unripe dates, right? Which the same analogous case, the unripe dates, they're considered to be not gemar melachta until you actually gomer them, and therefore you can still snack on them at that point. It's a very big kula here. Okay, says Gemara, Rabbi Yasi said masnisa amra kain. We learned this from our Mishnah. It's almost explicit in our Mishnah. Where so? There's grogros mishiyadush umegura mishiyagil. It says in our Mishnah, you know what? If you're trying to make a cake out of dates, and that's all you intend to make, cake. So then, the moment it's a cake, it's considered to be finished. And you can't snack on it anymore. But the same cake, if then you intend to press it into a larger container, into a container or to a box, that it's not going to be finished until it's finished pressing into the container or box. So we see that as long as considered to be, even artificially, not completed, because you want to add a stage or two, you can still snack from it until the final stage in the process which you determined is completed. Okay, is that clear? It's a good kula, okay? Sesmar doesn't help us at all in Chutzlars, but hey, it's a cool. Take it wherever you can get it. Okay, Sesmar further. I have a header here. Nishbra chavis v'nifta chavik chule. What happens if the while you're packing it into this box, the box breaks? So it's a machlokas in the Mishnah. Am Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Divrei shoner rishon." That was a fascinating thing. Translate Shona Rishon into Aramaic. What do you get?
Let's
give me the Aramaic for it.
Tanakama.
Oh,
right.
Shona Rishon, the one who launched first. This is Hebrew for Tanakama. I have never seen this. I mean, what do I know? I've never seen this before. Okay? Divrei Shona Rishon. The words of Tanakama, who says that once if the box broke in the middle of being packed, that it's still considered to be chai mitrumus amayis, you can't snack from a minute. The logic is lo atachton tzorach l'elyon v'lo elyon tzorach l'atachton. Look, no part of this box needs the other part of the box because ultimately they're all cakes already. You're just pressing artificially, right? You don't need the top part. Of the stuff which is already in there doesn't need the stuff which you're going to pack in on top. It's independently completed. And stuff which is on top doesn't need stuff which is on the bottom. It's independently completed. So therefore, right now, okay, you want to pack into a box. Nebuch, the box broke. But that doesn't detract from the fact that they're completed, and therefore you can't snack despite the fact that your box broke. The Rishon Achron, the words of the Tana Basra, the last Tana, are... Tachton tzorach l'elyon. He says no, but this was your intent, right? You wanted to put it into all one vessel, and he says interesting thing. He says that since you wanted to sell it that way, so therefore that's not considered to be gemar melacha. You wanted to take it to the marketplace into specific prices, which they would get, I guess, wholesale retail. So therefore, it makes a difference, right? Tachton tzorach l'elyon v'en tzorach l'tachton, and therefore you could still snack from it. After breaks, Rabbi Lezer said to Rabbi Meir, "This is going. Tanakama is Rabbi Meir. Umaykamashmulon. Now you don't have this whole line, right? Umaykamashmulon, hakamashmulon. What's he telling? This is what he's telling us. The lo tizbor meimar. Do not think to say that Tanakama is a stama, the Mishnah that attribution. Rabbi Yosi, and the next Tana is Rabbi Yosi, Valoch Gustama, therefore it looks like the Tanakama, who's the Stam Mishnah, from Cain. That's why Tzarech Meimar, he tells Rabbi Meir, that Tanakama is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi, definitely could pass on like Rabbi Yossi, who says that in this case, you are exempt from Trumas and Maisers. You can still snack because not Gemar Melacha, because your original intent was not fulfilled. Okay? Hajlo Klal Amru, new Perek, Halacha Aleph. Hoy Ever Bashuk. Okay, everybody's with us? New Perek? Hoy Ever Bashuk, a person was walking in the marketplace. We don't know the status of this individual. The Pashtus says he's an Amoritz. Yamin Amoritz, who's bringing his fruit to the market. Vava, he says to some Tamid HaChomim, Tolachem Teinim, take some figs. Ochlin of Turim, they can eat it and they're exempt. Why? Because didn't yet come into a house. Lefichach, and therefore, if they're bringing it into their houses, we're on the top of Zion and Rav now, Metaknin Vadai, they definitely have to fix it up because they assume that it was not tithe till now. Tulu v'achnisu v'tech, one of the Amor said to the Chaverim, take it into your houses to eat. Loyachu me'ema, right? So now they can't eat it or as a snack. Why? Because of a fundamental principle the world will tell us. Whose intent determines the status of the fruit? The seller or the giver. The seller or the giver, not the buyer. And since he said, eat in your houses, that means it's already been set aside for the house. It can no longer be snacked. That's it. Lefichach, however, on the other hand, since he was revealed that he intends for them to take it into their house, so therefore, imichnisu lebateyen, if they bring it to the house, they only have to fix it up as my, because perhaps since he told them to take it into their houses, so then he might have actually already fixed it up before he gave it to them. Now, L'chaira, I just want to point out another thing which Shulchan Benoki says here. L'chaira, it would seem that we said that sales also are kaveh l'maiser. A sale, midrabon, is considered to be kaveh l'maiser. A sale plus bringing to the house afterwards. We said that. But a sale is like miruach. So here I tell you about this matana is like a mecher, and the Gemara is going to pick up on that. Why this gift is like a sale. Okay, let's go to the Gemara.
Wait 1 second. It's a gift. I can understand where the giver has a right to determine the obligations, the condition.
That may be. It might not be by sale. Right, I don't know enough about it yet. That's true. And you're right. It's a good point. Yeah, it might only be by this gift. Okay, but we'll see in the Gemara. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, did everybody see the Gemara? Do you have Amar Shmuel? Okay, Amar Shmuel, Dr. Meir. This is going like Dr. Meir. Dr. Meir, Amar, in Matzana Kimecher. A gift is not like a sale. Rabbi Yossi, Mar, Divrei Akoli. Rabbi Yossi says, everybody agrees to this. Now, what's the machlokas here? The machlokas here that is about machlokas here is by Yovel. Rabbi Meir holds that a gift is like a sale, and therefore, just like a sale goes back every Yovel, so to Rabbi Meir holds it's not. Therefore, a sale goes back every 50th year, a gift does not. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan are arguing him there. So, like him, our Mishnah say that a gift is not like a sale, and therefore it depends what the intent of the seller was. Like you were saying a moment ago, it depends on his intent, because it's not like a sale. By a sale, it's absolute. The moment it was designated for sale, you're not allowed to snack on it anymore. Snacks are forbidden. But here, it's a gift, and therefore the parameters are different. But it's according to Rabbanon, who argued I made it there by Yoivo, they're also saying our Mishnah, that once it's designated for the purpose of a gift, so you can no longer snack on it, right? So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Amar Divrei Akoli, Rabbi Yossi says it's going like everybody, even like Rabbanon. And he'll explain why in a minute. Ishta'ilis le'ilin Divrei Rabbi Yanai. They asked those over the house of Rabbi Yanai. For I mean, they said, Noagin avina yavin ilin leilin b'chakla. We would give, when we got gifts like this, we would give to each other. We'll give to each other gifts in the fields. Chakla is the fields. Va'achlin would snack on them. V'lo masakin wouldn't be masakin. Why lichayra matana kemecher? If we pass like Rabbanan, that a gift is like a sale. So the moment it's sold, i.e., given, you're not allowed to snack on it anymore. right? It's as if it came into a house. So says the Gemara, I could do. What is the rationale behind this? Command the Omer, Be'alem, Kibul, Olem, Esam, Maisros. According to opinion, the Maisros, Bezman, Azad, Rabbanon. So if Maisros, the Rabbanon, so the Rabbanon were Mekel. They said, a sale, that's it. You can no longer snack after a sale. But after a gift, you can still snack. Okay, nice Baal Baddish distinction.
Me'alem refers to the Amor
Amorazi. No. Klal Yisrael. Yeah, it's a Rabbana means the Jews were caught by themselves. They came back in by time of Esen Nechemia. Okay? Now I have a header again. You don't have it, probably. Im Ichnisu Vatem Chule Vadai. You don't have it, right? Okay, Masniso. I'm going to tell you about a case. B'mokom Shiro Machnisu Lebatim. Now, I'm going to tell you about a case where most people bring it into their houses. Why is that? Why is it more often said? Because in the beginning our mission said, and Amoritz comes to me and says, the case of the ratio is, and Amoritz comes to me when he has fruit. He says, listen, Yosef, take this into your house, take this and eat it. Okay? Take it and eat it. Take it. In this case, L'chaira, we should say that he was, where was on his way to the market, right? He's taking it to the market, so then it's already on a case where it's going to sale, right? So a case is going to sale. So the determination to sell it in and of itself, we said in the previous barak, forbids me from snacking on it. So how can I now take it and snack on it? The Mishnah said I'm allowed to snack. He just says to me, "Tulchem tainim oichlim of turin." Says that I can take it and I'm exempt. Why am I? He doesn't tell me to take it in my house. He just says take it and eat it. Why am I exempt? So says the one army story about where most people don't sell. In other words, Amoritz himself wasn't taking it to the marketplace. He might have been delving it down the market road, but he was taking it in order to take home with him. And therefore, there was no intent to sell. That's why I, who got from him the gift, don't have to miser either. I can still snack from it. But in a case where most people, when they take the fruit down the road, they take it to market. So in that case, I'm not allowed to snack. But B, Einan Misaknin Elodemai. Meaning that, hey, since he knew that I'm not allowed to snack, he might have known, because even Amoritz might know that once it's fixed to go to market, snacking is forbidden, so he might have taken off Trumas of Mitzvahs already. So then in that case, he might. No, Amratzim might. It's not that they definitely don't. They might, may or may not. So therefore, because Rov HaMeyaretz Mitzvah may, right? So therefore, when I take off the Trumas of Mitzvahs, I can only take off the mind, not Vadai. So in our Mishnah it said, see, it's an ironic thing. The Mishnah said, if I'm getting it from him, and it's a place where people don't sell, so then I can snack. But when I get home, since people don't sell, he didn't fix it up. When I get home, I definitely have to take off Trumas HaMaisos myself. Vadai. But it's a place where most people sell, so when it's on the road, so then at that point, it's not Chayv and Trumas HaMaisos. It's Chayv and Trumas HaMaisos, right? So maybe the Amoritz then already did take off the Trumas HaMaisos. So then, since that's the case, under those circumstances, the halacha is that perhaps the Amoritz did take off Trumas HaMaisos. So when I take off Trumas HaMaisos, it's only demai, not vada. It's only misafik, not definitively. Okay, says Mara, im makom shiro machnis lebatim. Mr. Zug, you have a place?
No, it's okay.
What? No, it's not okay. I don't want to lose you tonight. I have you up for most of the evening.
Okay.
Where is it?
2 lines down from the Dalet.
2 lines down from the Dalet?
Nine lines from the Gemara.
Okay.
Nine from the way the Gemara begins.
Okay,
you have a word E? E or in?
In.
Aleph Yud Nun. Do you see that? In b'makom sh'rov machnis l'batim. It says, well, wait a minute. If our mission story where most people take it home and they don't sell, it's not a place where there's a market. Bedot Ninon. In this case, would you say in our Mishnah, two? You probably have bedor tanina or something, right?
Yeah,
bedor tanina. The tanina tulu vachnisu lebateichem. Would you say go and take it to your house? As a quote from Mishnah, would we say in our Mishnah, betulu vachnisu lebateichem, take it to your house as leichlumem arayv chule? They shouldn't eat from it on the snack, etc. Now, the question, this is Yerushalmi. So the question is not from the, what we just quoted, but the question is rather from the etc. Okay? Whatever it says in Yerushalmi, v'chule, you have to assume that the proof is from the v'chule, not what I just read from. So the question is indeed from the etc. The etc. says that we're talking about a case where... he said, the sefer is, take a look back in the Mishnah a minute. Right on the top of Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay, right on the top of Zayin Amud Aleph in the Mishnah. No. Okay, it's how it is. So just listen. Tolu vachnisu vatechem. If the Amorit says, take it, you don't have to look, I'll just read it outside. Tolu vachnisu vatechem, take it and bring it into your house. Lo yochlu mehem arai. You're not allowed to eat from them as a snack, because that means when he said taking it to your house, then this is considered to be like a sale, as we'll see in a moment. Okay, so lefichach therefore mechnisu levatein ain masakim el demai. In that case, if they take it to their house, they only take off as demai. So lechayra. Why should you only have to take off as demai? Why only as demai? When he took it, when he giving it to you, he's not giving you something which is already chayiv and trumas and maaseres, because with only his chayiv and trumas and maaseres, it was designated for sale. But he's saying to you, take it home with you. So he's saying take it home means when you take it home, when you get home with it, that's when you become chayiv and trumas and maaseres. So if that's the case, when the Amorites had it, he definitely would not have tithed it, because it wasn't yet a Shas Chiv. When did our Amorites have tithed it? When it was a Shas Chiv and already was chayiv by him. But here where he says, Tolu v'achnisu bateichem, it was never chayiv by the Amorites. So why is it only demai? When you, that chover, take it home, it shouldn't be demai, it should be vadai. You should definitely take trumas and maaseres off of it. So says the Gemara, a very interesting answer. Mikev and Shomar. Well, since he said, next two words you probably don't have, but they're important. Became Shamar Tulu Vachnisu. He said, take him into your house. Kimish Omar, it's as if he said, Tol Vani Masar Yorchadami. As if he said, I'm taking Achrayas. In other words, the added words, Hachnisu Levatechem, what does that mean? That's a euphemism. Hachnisu Levatechem means, take it into a place where it's going to become Chayiv and Meiser. Definitively chayiv, where the snack is no longer allowed. So it says, Lamar, I interpret his words, that excess verbiage which he employed, to mean that take it home and it's eat it on my cheshbon, because I already meistered it previously. So those words imply that he himself already meistered it when he had it. Okay? Says the Gemara, Avo v'mokom shecho machnisim l'shuk. In a case, however, then you shouldn't have said no. No, but he didn't say do what you want to do. He said take it into your houses.
You're assuming he meant every single word he said. Most people just talk; they don't know what they say.
That's true now, but it wasn't true in the sixth. Wasn't true necessarily in the sixth century.
Okay, fine, thank you.
I guess. Okay, people weighed their words more carefully. Says the Gemara. In a case where most people take from the marketplace, it's interesting. The Amoritz in that case is not believed to say, I didn't meiser it yet. Right? I didn't meiser it yet would imply that. The way the Kavanaki explains it, that since it's a place where most people take it to the marketplace, that really we should say that, well, it's already chayiv, because he mistama meant to sell it, and since he meant once he intends to sell it already, to sets it permanently, and you can't snack from it. But since this guy is coming saying, I didn't take off Meiser, what does he mean? Again, he's implying here. What he's saying is, I didn't intend to sell it. I always had in mind to give it to you as a gift, not to sell. And therefore, you could still snack from it. He doesn't just mean to say I didn't Meiser. What he means to say is, I didn't Meiser because I didn't mean to make it something for sale. I meant to give it as a gift. And therefore, it's not Meiser, but you can snack from it. That's the flip side of it, the advantage. So it says, it's not belief. Because in the place where most people sell, we assume that this is set for merchandise, and therefore the kachover gets it, can't snack from it. And he's not believed, in this case, to say, again, this is all part of the same statement, he's not believed to say, I intended to take it into my house and not to sell it, and not for the majority, and therefore it's true it in my circuit, but you can still snack from it. That's the flip side. He's not believing anything. We follow the road, we don't follow what he himself says. Okay? Says more further. Masniso, you guys with me?
The only question, so is it the status is denied him?
What?
This kind of case, but we assume that his intent was to give it as a matona. So
what?
Is this the case?
Yeah, but still denied. No, it's catch 22. No matter which way you look at it, it's still demai. Because he claims, now Moritz claims, I meant to give it to you as a gift, I never meant to sell it. So therefore it was never chayav in Meisus definitively. We don't believe him on either way.
What point was it, Alec?
What?
He was just talking.
No, but he meant to apply something.
We don't believe him, though.
That's separate. But he didn't mean to apply something.
Why don't we believe him? Because he's talking.
All right. Fine. Okay. So that's not further. I don't think you have this next line, actually. Masnisa menosel lo davar muat. Do you have that?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Menosel lo davar meruba.
No. Okay. So you have it, but... you have this thing. Okay. Masnisa menosel lo davar muat. Our mission is talking about a case where you gave him a small amount. There I said... No. That's the next line. You don't have this line. Masnisa menosel lo davar muat. Our mission is talking about a case where you gave him a small amount. There, it's not automatically like a sale. Menosel lo davar meruba. However, if you give him a large gift, even if you tell him, go and eat it, because I didn't mean to give it to, it's not a sale. Doesn't matter. You still can't stack from it. It's as if you told him that you have taken to your house. Meaning, it's like a sale. But when I say matana is not like a mecher, only by small amounts. Because then I can say, it's the meister, it's only the rabbonon, so I could say this matana is not really like a sale. But where I say, where it's a large amount, so it looks much too much like a sale, and therefore in that case, forget it. There's no snacking, right? No snacking period. If the Amoritz gave him something which is not normally eaten raw. And, similarly, it's like which not normally eaten raw. I feel amalo tovachol, even though he said go and eat it, go snack on it. It's as if he told him go and take it into your house. Similarly, if he's a great man, shein darko lecho b'shuk, who does not normally accustomed to eat in the marketplace. Vormally said tovachol, go and eat it. He said go and snack. It's not a problem. It's as if he told him, go and take it into your house. Now, what do you mean, go and take it into your house? That's go and take it into your house. It's a hard thing for me to explain because I don't fully understand it. But if I'd say, if the Amoritz just says, take it, and it's a small amount, so then I say Matan is not like Mecher. if it's stuff which the Amoritz probably was taking to sell, such where rove people in that place take to sell. So then I say it is like he's not believed to say it wasn't meant for sale. And then also you're not allowed to snack. They're not allowed to snack from it. But if the Amoritz said also take it and bring it into your house, then for a reason which is not clear for me.
Small or large?
even small, then for reasons which are not clear to me, it's considered to be a, then that case also we say matana kemecher, and therefore he has to, the chaver is not no longer allowed to snack on it. So again, the only time I say matana is not like mecher, that a gift is not like a sale, is in a place where most people don't sell their grain, most people eat their grain personally, and the Amorit just said take it. But in a case where the Amorit said either take it into your house, a case where it's a large gift, a case where it's a place where most people sell, so in that case I say this sale, this gift is like a sale, and you're not allowed to snack from it until you miser it. Okay? So that's the dichotomy in the Gemara. It's not, it makes sense. Hayushnai. There are two people there. Two chaverim. Lizeh amar lo tov echol. To Reuven, he says, take and eat it. Uzeh amar lo tov echachnes. The other guy who says, take it and bring it home. Zesh amar lo tov echol potter. The guy who says, take it and eat it, he's exempt. In other words, he can still snack from it. He just said, take it and eat it, right? Zesh amar lo tov echachnes nebuch. Chayev, he's chayev and maitzah, so therefore he's not allowed to snack on it anymore. This is a principle which you just learned applied. Rabbi Yisrael said, "V'lav masnisa." Isn't this a subsequent Mishnah? Mishnah says, "Hein oichlin upturim." The people, if you're the Amoritz goes to the marketplace and there are a bunch of people sitting there schmoozing, and another couple of people there who actually are storekeepers, they have business there. So he gives the people are schmoozing. Hein oichlin upturim. They're exempt. But Ubal Ashar, Ubal Chanus, a person there who's there because he's a gatekeeper, I guess that's his job, or he owns a store, so that's already considered to be as if it's their house, and therefore they're chayav. Okay, so that we can see that the dichotomy can create it even for the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda said, you know, going back to what we said previously, that our Mishnah is only going according to being a Mises on it says the Rabbanon. It can even go according to being in mind of my mitzvah of his mind as the raisa. Can't be my, can't be vadai. Our Mishnah, which says that they can be exempt, right? That matona is not necessarily kemecher, is a case where it's demai. Okay? We're talking about a case that Amoritz might have meistered all this after all, so therefore we'd say matona is not kemecher. We're making it to say matona is not kemecher. Because our Mishnah is inherently, even the mitzvahs of the raisa. Our mission is inherently the Rabbanan, because it's talking about the Mai. It's about a case where Amoritz probably did Mai, so Rabbanan relied on Glazer not to rely on him. There, in the case where Rabbanan, where do Rabbanan say Matona always is Kemecher, in a case where it's Vadai. Not Vadai, Mai, it's the case of Vadai Yoivo.
Yeah, that's true.
In other words, the case where Rabbanan said Vadai, Matona is Vadai Kemecher, is where we have a query, where we have a definite Raisa. Whether field should go back to Yovel or not, so then they said Matanas Kemecher, right? But we're saying over here is a case of Demai where the whole concept is the Rabbanan. So therefore, in that case, Rabbanan Meikel said Matanas is not Kemecher. Tanya, we learned. We're on top of Zion and base now. The truth is, it's already late. All right, we'll stop here and we'll take it from here next week. So we're at the top of Zion Mabez. I was going to start from there.